Hey everyone, and welcome to The Deep Dive. Ever feel like you're just barely keeping up with everything going on in your field? Like, how are you supposed to get ahead if you're just trying to keep your head above water?
Right.
Well, that's what we're diving into today. We're talking about social learning networks and how they might be the key to effortlessly staying ahead of the curve. Think of it this way. It's like, remember how much easier it was to understand something back in school? When you could bounce ideas off your classmates. Social learning networks are kind of like that, but, supercharged for the digital age. And to help us break it all down, we're looking at a platform called Watch and Learn as a case study. So instead of just throwing another learning platform on the pile, we're talking about social learning networks. What's the difference?
Well, I think the real game changer here is the emphasis on collaboration. So it's not just about downloading information from one source, it's about tapping into the collective wisdom of a group of people.
So instead of just me, myself, and I with a textbook, I can have a whole network of like mini me's, but hopefully smarter to help me learn.
And since these networks are all digital, you're no longer limited by, who's physically around you or geographical boundaries. So you could have a mentor in like Australia and another one in South America who are all on the same page as you.
Okay, I like where this is going, but I'm someone who learns best by actually seeing how things are done. Back in college, I swear I could read a chapter six times and still be totally lost, but then I'd see someone demonstrate it and it'd just click. That's something this kind of platform caters to.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Watch and Learn has a really interesting feature they call digital apprenticeship, where they use screencasting and screen sharing to create that kind of experience. So, you can have someone virtually looking over your shoulder and guiding you through a process.
That's seriously cool. It's like having a personalized tutorial whenever you need it. That being said, sometimes I do struggle with information overload. It can be a lot to process. How do you even begin to filter out the noise in such a, I don't know, dynamic environment?
No, you're absolutely right. Not all information is created equal, and critical thinking is super important. I mean, even in a structured learning environment, you have to apply that critical thinking. But one of the great things about platforms like this is that Watch and Learn allows for real-time interaction through video calling and messaging.
So you can actually ask clarifying questions and really get into it with other users.
That's the idea, to recreate that kind of dynamic exchange of ideas that you might find in a physical classroom or even just a really good debate, even if you're miles apart.
I like that. So you're not just passively absorbing the information, you're actively part of the learning process. I feel like that would lead to some pretty big aha moments.
And to make sure that those aha moments aren't lost, Watch and Learn also has integrated voice recording and transcription features.
Oh, that's smart. I'm a huge podcast person myself, and I find that I often learn and remember information better when I hear it spoken aloud. And then having that transcription element just makes it accessible to everyone. Okay, so this is all sounding really good so far. It really seems like they've thought of everything.
Well, they've certainly put a lot of thought into creating a comprehensive platform. I mean, in addition to what we've already talked about, they also have analytics dashboards to help users track their progress and really identify any areas where they might need additional support.
So it's data-driven learning, but in a way that empowers the user rather than making them feel overwhelmed.
And it also highlights another really important aspect of Watch and Learn, and that's the emphasis on asynchronous learning. Because not everyone operates on the same schedule, right? Especially in today's world.
Especially with so many people working remotely or having these really flexible schedules, it's tough to make everything line up perfectly.
And speaking of busy schedules, one of the other things that really stands out about Watch and Learn is it has this built-in booking system, which might seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference. It really streamlines the process of, scheduling those video calls or screen shares that we were talking about, and even virtual events.
Oh, right. They did mention something about having a live streaming component for virtual events. So it's not just about like replacing those one-on-one interactions. They're also trying to capture the energy of like a conference or a workshop, right?
They've created a space where you can hear from industry leaders, you can participate in live Q&As, you can even network with other attendees all from, wherever you are.
You know, it's funny. For a long time, I was really skeptical of virtual events. I really missed that, I don't know, in-person connection. But after the last few years of, remote work and online conferences, I really start to see the value. It makes things so much more accessible.
Right, and I think a lot of people feel the same way. And Watch and Learn seems to have found a really good balance between like the convenience of online learning with, you know, the community and engagement that you get from actually being somewhere with people.
Totally. And I mean, for those of us who don't live in a major city, the fact that you can have access to these like high quality learning experiences without the travel costs or the time away from work, it's a game changer.
Absolutely. It really democratizes knowledge, right? I mean, breaking down those barriers and making expert insights more accessible is something that traditional learning models have really struggled with.
It's like taking the idea of a global classroom to a whole other level. But you mentioned earlier that Watch and Learn is just one example. Are there other platforms out there doing similar things?
Yeah, definitely. The world of social learning networks is always evolving. There are a bunch of platforms out there, and they all have their own little spin on it, you know, their own approach. Some of them are more geared towards like specific industries, others more general. Some focus more on mentorship, others are more about curated content from experts.
So it's less about finding the, like, quote unquote, right platform, and more about finding the community and the resources that fit your specific learning style and your goals.
Right. 100%. Yeah. It's about finding the right fit for you. And like anything else in life, it's about being proactive and intentional. You get out what you put in.
Totally. But I think it's also important to acknowledge that it's not like a magic solution, right?
Yeah.
There are going to be challenges and downsides to consider as well. I mean, we've talked about information overload and being a discerning learner, but what are some other potential pitfalls?
Well, for example, one of the things we've talked about is the global nature of these platforms, right?
Right.
And that's amazing in a lot of ways, but it can also lead to communication issues or cultural misunderstandings if you're not careful.
That's a really good point. Just because we're all connecting in this digital space doesn't mean that we're all speaking the same language, so to speak.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important for platforms like Watch and Learn to foster a culture of inclusivity, you know, provide support for cross-cultural communication. Because, I mean, building community isn't just about the technology, it's about thoughtful design and creating a welcoming environment where everyone feels respected.
So true. And that actually makes me think of another challenge that we haven't really touched on yet, and that's the digital divide. You know, not everyone has access to reliable internet or even the devices they need to participate in these online spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a crucial point. And it's something that we can't forget about when we're talking about the future of learning. Because if social learning networks are really going to live up to their potential, we need to make sure that everyone has equitable access.
It's like we could have the most incredible platforms and resources in the world, but if huge chunks of the population are being left behind, then we're not really accomplishing what we set out to do.
Exactly. And that's where I think those traditional institutions that, you know, sometimes get a bad rap, like universities and libraries and government agencies, they have a really important role to play.
Right. They can help bridge that gap by, you know, providing access technology, offering digital literacy training, things like that. It's like
Exactly.
almost like these social learning networks could actually be the thing that brings those traditional institutions and these newer platforms together.
Yeah. Like imagine if your local library wasn't just a place to borrow books, but it was a place where you could connect with like other people in your field or take a virtual workshop from, you know, some world-renowned expert or even just like get some help navigating these platforms in the first place.
That'd be amazing. It's like taking the best parts of those physical learning spaces
Yeah.
and combining it with all the amazing things that are possible in the digital world.
Nice.
It's so cool. Well, I am very optimistic about the future of learning after this deep dive, I have to say. But as we start to wrap things up here,
Okay.
one last question for you. If social learning networks do become like the main way that we share knowledge, what happens to the, I don't know, the traditional gatekeepers of information, like the universities, the publishers, the experts who, you know, have always been the ones to kind of validate and spread knowledge? Do they become obsolete?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I don't think there's an easy answer. I don't think it has to be like one or the other, though. You know, it's more about adapting and evolving.
Yeah.
Like, take universities, for example. They still have a really important role to play in terms of research and setting standards and just providing that structured learning environment. But they can also like take some of these social learning principles and weave them into what they're already doing.
Right. So it's not about tearing it all down. It's about, you know, maybe adding on, renovating a little.
Exactly. And just like universities need to adapt, the people within those institutions need to adapt too. It's not enough to just be the holder of knowledge anymore, right? You have to be a facilitator, a collaborator, a guide.
So it's not just about what you know, it's about how you share what you know and how you bring other people along with you.
100%. And that requires a whole other skill set, you know, empathy, communication, digital literacy, being able to like build a community online and foster trust.
That's huge. It seems like, in a way, social learning networks are kind of changing what it means to be an expert in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's not about being an expert in isolation anymore. The real magic happens when you share what you know, when you get into those conversations and contribute to a larger body of knowledge.
So less about being the sage on the stage and more about being part of this, like, dynamic, interconnected network.
Exactly. And that's so much more powerful for everyone involved because it means that anyone can be a teacher and anyone can be a learner, no matter where they come from or what their background is.
I love that. It's like we're breaking down those old hierarchies
Yep.
and making it so that everyone has a seat at the table.
Exactly. And in a world that's changing as fast as ours is, that ability to adapt and to like learn together is essential. The future belongs to the people who are willing to embrace those new ways of thinking and connecting.
So well said. And on that note of embracing the future, we've reached the end of our deep dive today. But hopefully this has given you a lot to think about and maybe even inspired you to check out the world of social learning networks for yourself.
Yeah. And remember, it's never too late to jump in and see what it's all about, whether you're, you know, just starting out or you've been in your field for years.
You've got a place at the table.
You do.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Deep Dive. Until next time, keep those questions coming, keep exploring, and keep learning.